episode 25 of the Rookie Big Board Podcast. I am your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, and I am fired up because I'm officially kicking off the summer scouting. We're talking about the 2022 Rookie Big Board here on today's episode. Specifically, I'm going to be breaking down my initial thoughts and interpretations here from the 9 quarterbacks that I did a summer scouting evaluation and profile for over the weekend here. But just a little bit of heads up, this is the first time talking about the 2022 Rookie Big Board. So for all the patrons out there, you already have access to it. It's built out. It has about 90 guys on it right now. Now those guys are going to fluctuate a lot. We're going to see guys reclassify out of the class. We're going to see some big risers over the course of the not only the fall, but also the summer and then into combine season. So this board's going to change a whole ton. But it's really good to start getting an idea of what the class is going to look like here. So just real quick, it's actually a little bit different from last year's big board. I took a little bit extra time this summer and I built out some extra features. So for this year, actually, each position group has their own notebook category on Notion as well. And you have full access to this as a patron at the $3 level, patreon.com/theffeducator. And for this one, actually, so I have each player built out here with a summary, a tape grade, their current player value and potential player value, which is used on an NFL grading scouting system. Then I have their NFL draft projection, their fantasy football projection. So then I translate it based on their fantasy football tape grade, which remember is a unique formula that I use. And then what's really unique this year is now you have access to my full notes. So I have each category, each trait that I measure, and I have notes on all of them. And then I also give you the score for each category and each trait. It could really help you get a better idea of what the player is. So I have 9 of those in right now for quarterbacks. And now, 9 is not the extensive list of quarterbacks, of course. You know, there's guys that I didn't get to on the list that I definitely want to. Matt Corral, Tyler Shuck, Chase Garbers, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Brock Purdy. We got to get some more evaluations over the summer for sure. But 9 starts to give us a good idea of the class. And that's what I want to run through here on today's episode. And these are just initial impressions. I want to really preface that. Summer scouting does a couple things. It gives you a general idea of not only the players themselves, but the class. And so there's a few specific things that I do on purpose, really intentionally, to make sure I don't overvalue the summer scouting reports. Because remember, these players ideally are going to progress. Their draft stock is going to change significantly here over the course of the next year. If you did a summer scouting report last year on Zach Wilson, you'd be looking at somebody who, for the most part, wasn't even on the NFL draft radar, certainly wasn't on the high end of the NFL draft radar, and he ends up being the second quarterback off the board in the 2021 NFL draft. So my point is, I give a general idea of each player. You'll notice on the tape grades on Patreon, you can go in and look at the individual trait scores. They're all in intervals of 5. That's not normal, but that is something I do to help keep summer scouting general. I try not to get too into the weeds, but you'll see those will get a lot more detailed, intervals of 1 instead of intervals of 5. And the other thing I do, for the most part, I really limit myself to just 2 to 3 games of tape. I don't want to overvalue. I don't want to put too much emphasis on past tape. So even if I've watched a lot of tape in the past, like last year or the year before for some of these Devy guys, I really try to take a fresh look, rewatch the tape, and give an evaluation specifically on the new fresh tape that I've watched. And what I've done now is I've broken down those 9 guys into their fantasy football tiers, and that's how I'm going to work through them here today. And again, I want to point out the emphasis. All of these guys that I'm going to talk about today still have a chance and likely will significantly improve their draft stock. Summer scouting is really focused on finding an idea of a player and figuring out how they need to progress to get to the ultimate draft position they want to be, which is a first-round quarterback. So let's start here with my bottom tier of guys, and these are the guys who, for fantasy football purposes, project out to be in the bench depth or waiver wire warrior category. So that's the bottom of the bottom. It's not exactly where you want to see your guys, and they kind of fall for different reasons. And the first one off the board here is Desmond Ridder. And so he's the 9th guy on my scouting. He falls into waiver wire warrior. He projects to be a late day 3 pick to me. And I know we've seen Desmond Ridder all over the board. I want to preface this by saying I think Desmond Ridder legitimately could have been a day 2 developmental pick in this last year's quarterback class that kind of fell off a cliff after the early first round. And I like Desmond Ridder to a degree. I like his upside. I was disappointed when I watched the tape, because when you watch him live, you see a lot of the flash, you see a lot of the excitement, but when you actually translate that, watch the tape, really get critical and break it down, the accuracy is a huge problem. And at the end of the day, you can do a lot of things very well, but when your accuracy is that bad for Desmond Ridder, it's going to really cause some issues here. He struggles to place the ball along the sideline. He doesn't anticipate his receivers well, which is a skill you can learn, but that's a little bit challenging here, especially as he kind of has a good grasp on this offense at this point in time. You know, he's an experienced starter, and you would like to see a little bit better grasp of the offense and a little bit better feel for where his receivers are going to be. So overall, you know, and by the way, his mechanics are also a problem for me. Short arms the ball. He leaves his body open too often. You know, so overall, I have more question marks than answers with Desmond Ridder, which is why I project him to be a day three guy. Now, a lot of folks have him projected to be a day two guy, and some even feel like he could get into day one. And the option's there. I'm not ruling it out with Desmond Ridder. A big season could definitely be ahead of him here. And what works in Desmond Ridder's favor, he's from Cincinnati, but you know, and normally that smaller market exposure would kind of hurt you, but Desmond Ridder has the opportunity to attach himself onto a really fantastic narrative here. Cincinnati is probably going to be the group of five team. Remember, they made a strong push this past season. They had a great record. They were in the Sugar Bowl there with Georgia at the end of things there. And Desmond Ridder, you know, he stood out in terms of his competitive toughness, his ability to help Cincinnati win games. And I think Cincinnati is going to push that narrative again this year. They're returning a lot of starters. I like their running back Jerome Ford a ton. And so their offense is going to be working on all gears. And, you know, Cincinnati easily could be a top 10 team. They could be that team pushing the conversation there, that group of five team this year that pushes the conversation, you know, just barely gets left out of the college football playoff. And he could kind of ride that momentum into being more of a day two type guy. So I'm not ruling it out for Desmond Ridder. But I have to say, honestly, I came in with higher expectations from his tape review, and I wasn't really pleased with what I saw. Now, the next guy up here coming in at number 8, also in the bench depth waiver wire category, is JT Daniels out of Georgia. And now, I want to preface this by saying, I think JT Daniels still has a significant opportunity to up his draft stock. He had limited games, I believe it was 4 games with Georgia last year, where he was finally healthy, they were ready to put him back out there. And remember, JT Daniels was the USC transfer, he took the year off, he's kind of been through a lot. But JT Daniels, initially a 4-star recruit, so he was a very highly sought after guy. But it was difficult to get excited about him as a prospect. It's clear he's got the arm strength. It's clear he's got the gunslinger mentality. He's aggressive. He's ready to put the ball. And he can rip it. I mean, he can rip the ball 45, 50 plus yards downfield, which is the good part. But for me, you know, where I really struggle is that he's going to be limited to the pocket. There's really no mobility and athleticism. And if you know me, you know in my quarterbacks, I prefer to have some mobility, some athleticism. That gives a real higher level of fantasy football upside. And his accuracy was just not where I wanted it to be. He struggled to anticipate where his receivers were going to be. It seemed like a lot of the times he was just throwing up jump balls and hoping one of his very talented receivers won it. He didn't really put him in a success to win the ball. You know, oftentimes I didn't think he really was placing it well. He was just kind of getting it into the area. And again, he might not have had a good grasp on the playbook. He might not have had a good grasp on his wide receivers yet. I mean, he had to take over mid-year. He was transferring. There's a lot of factors that could have gone into it. But for me, JT Daniels didn't show enough with his accuracy to offset that, the fact that he's going to be limited in the pocket, and he's going to have to rely on his arm. And the other thing that I can't ignore is, until Georgia tells us differently, they're going to prioritize the run, they're going to highlight the running backs, and I don't know how much we're actually going to get to see of JT Daniels. Are they going to let him push the ball downfield? We all want them to, but until Georgia tells us differently, I think we have to assume the worst for how they're going to highlight their guy. It doesn't seem like his skill set matches the offense, and it's a skill set he's going to need to highlight in order to really boost up his draft stock. So at least for now, I have him as a day two prospect. That feels like where he's going to live for me. Obviously, he has the ability to push himself up into the round one conversation, like I mentioned, all of these guys do, but I don't see it right now just yet with JT Daniels. Let's go on and jump into the next category. This is a fun set of guys. There's two guys that fall into my flex filler category, and let's go ahead and let's start here with Malik Willis of Liberty. Now, Malik Willis, he's a really interesting prospect. You know, I think we're always kind of looking for that next FCS guy, you know, the Trey Lance. You want to know about him ahead of time, Carson Wentz before that. Malik Willis has a little bit different of a path than a lot of those other guys. Remember, Willis was initially the starting quarterback or in the quarterback room for Auburn, and he got replaced by Bo Nix, which of course Auburn fans have had a lot of, I will say, mixed feelings about. So he gets replaced by Bo Nix, and he transfers to Liberty, which for a lot of folks, they just kind of wrote him off, despite the fact that he was a four-star recruit, so he was a highly sought-after guy. You know, playing in an SEC program, he goes to Liberty. A lot of folks forget about him until this past season, where he really revitalizes things. He's a true dual-threat athlete. He's got an arm, and he has the mobility and athleticism to back that up. Now, right off the bat, you're going to catch my attention if you have a big arm and you have athleticism. That's a nice combination. And Willis, you know, not the biggest arm in the class, but he can get the ball 40, 55 yards downfield. So, you know, I wouldn't say he has a cannon by any means, but he has enough arm strength and he can sling the ball in the short midfield. He's got a nice pop on his ball in the short midfield, which is important when talking about arm strength as well. It's not just that you could toss it up downfield. In terms of his mobility, athleticism, you know, it's a lot of pure athleticism when he's running the ball. He's got good field vision. He shakes defenders in space. So he really does have that dual threat ability. Now, I think what he's got to rein in a little bit is his mechanics. And that's, you know, you're going to see that's a constant, you know, point of maybe over scrutiny for me in summer scouting. I really want to focus on the mechanics because it leads to a lot. But he leaves his body open while throwing a lot. Doesn't consistently set his feet. And his release, when he sits in the pocket, his release can be a little bit slow, a little bit long. So that's where I want to see Malik Willis rise up. Right now, he's a late day two pick for me. So certainly not, you know, unimaginable that he can make that rise that a lot of folks are getting excited about and push himself up into day one category. But at least for now, I think he's got to start there. What I will say is watching Malik Willis tape is nice because Liberty played a good amount of, you know, upper level competition there, some good teams. So it wasn't like he was just beating up on lower level teams. There were some good examples of him playing legitimate defenses, and that's always nice to see on tape. Next up is Carson Strong, and I feel like maybe not as many folks are excited about Carson Strong, or maybe just not even locked in as much on Carson Strong out of Nevada. But when you think of these Mountain West guys coming out the last couple of years, you know, you have Jordan Love, you know, essentially I consider BYU to be like a Mountain West team, and Zach Wilson having the next rise, that kind of rise. I could see Carson Strong being the next Mountain West guy coming out of Nevada. You know, he has a lot of really nice traits to his game. It starts with nice arm strength. I mean, we're talking 50, 55 yards downfield with relative ease. He has two tremendous throws. Go and flip on the South San Diego State University tape from 2020, and it is impossible not to get excited about Carson Strong. The way he drops some bombs, leads his wideouts absolutely perfectly in the deep third of the field, and he's got really nice zip on his ball in the short field. I also like that Carson Strong understands, you know, he is definitely limited to the pocket. I think he profiles as a pocket passer, but he understands that. He looks comfortable sitting in the pocket. He looks comfortable stepping up in the pocket, moving within the pocket. He's got nice footwork there. So I like the base there for Carson Strong. You know, the weakness, it's definitely his mobility and athleticism. He's going to be limited to a pocket passer in the NFL, which isn't terrible, but it's important to recognize, and it does drop his ceiling to a degree. And I also think in terms of mental processing, he just pushes the ball into tight windows a little bit too often. He forces it downfield a little bit too often. That gunslinger mentality we've seen isn't always a turnoff for NFL coaches and GMs, but at least for me, you know, I'd like to see him clean that up this next year. But if you look at the type of traits that a guy like Jordan Love displayed coming out of the Mountain West, I think Carson Strong is already a better prospect than Jordan Love was after he was done with his final collegiate season. So I could absolutely see Carson Strong pushing the conversation to be potentially a day one quarterback here in the 2022 NFL draft. Jumping to the next group of guys is where I think you're going to start picking up on names that are more exciting potentially for you or just more commonplace. Guys you might already have on your Devy rosters if you're playing in shallower leagues or if you're just trying to track for next year's fantasy. Maybe these are names you've heard of a little bit more often. And it starts with Keaton Slovis. And so Keaton Slovis, you know, technically coming in as quarterback 5 on the board right now after summer scouting. And for me, you know, Keaton Slovis has moved all around. It's truly a tale of two quarterbacks with Keaton Slovis. I don't know how else to put it. You know, you look at his 2019 tape, and Slovis, I made a point to make sure I saw 2019 Slovis tape, and so I have one 2019 game and two 2020 games on his summer scouting eval, and that's important because you need to see both sides of Slovis' game. You look at his 2019 tape, which is what was most fresh off my head, And, you know, he looked like a good quarterback. He was accurate. He was comfortable. He was aggressive, but he knew how to place the ball into tight windows, a great trait for a quarterback. He's a pocket passer for sure, but he could push that ball 40, 45 yards downfield, and his mechanics are really solid. He's got a tight throwing motion. He's got a crisp release, great footwork in the pocket. And what I liked about his 2019 tape a ton, he always threw from a clean platform, which really helped him be more consistent in his accuracy. Now, you look at 2020, and there's a variety of factors that go into this. All right, so I'm going to do a little bit of Keaton Slovis apologizing right off the bat here. You look at USC's shortened season. You know, and the Pac-12 had it worst of any team last year in terms of having to adjust, readjust, readjust, playing at weird times, and then playing the most shortened season of anybody here from COVID. And there are rumors to be that Keaton Slovis was battling through a throwing arm injury last year as well. Those are rumors. I'm not sure that that's been confirmed. And Keaton Slovis has come out and admitted that he didn't feel confident in his game. He didn't feel comfortable last season. And so he's come out and admitted that. So that you have to factor that in as well. And you could tell. You look at his 2020 game, and you could tell. His mechanics go awry. I talked about how I loved his platform that he was consistently throwing off of. I loved his footwork in 2019. Out the window, man. He totally loses that in 2020. He's pushing the ball. He's rolling out way more often. He's trying to extend the play with his legs, which is really not where he should be. And he's really kind of struggling to that sense. And so, you know, that lowered everything for me. He lost arm strength. He lost his accuracy. His mental processing, it didn't look as good. You know, in 2019 tape, he's working through his second read into his third read. He's finding the checkdowns very well. And it seemed like in his 2020 tape, if he didn't find that first guy, he was hucking it. You know, he was either overthrowing his guy. He was doing this weird fade type throw where he was just going too far with it. It wasn't clean. It wasn't good. So it's a tale of two quarterbacks. Now, Keaton Slovis wouldn't be the first player to come off of a bad season, put together a fantastic senior campaign, and the NFL would just forget about his previous year. I mentioned Zach Wilson earlier. Zach Wilson's 2019 campaign was not good. It was a very bad campaign. And this is playing in the Mountain West. And he came back in 2020, put together a great season, and the NFL pretended like 2019 didn't happen. Jordan Love, his 2018 campaign was not good. It was very bad. And I would argue his 2019 campaign wasn't very good either. But whenever I was evaluating Jordan Love, everybody said, forget about 2018, focus on 2019. And I think the NFL does that to a degree. So we're not out on Keaton Slovis, but I think it would be ridiculous not to adjust and be more realistic about it. Now, Keaton Slovis, Phil Dracovic, who I'm about to talk about, they both fall in my weekly starters category. I think they both have a shot to go round one. And let's go ahead and let's transition to Dracovic here. Dracovic, I'm gonna mix that up back and forth. Now, this is a guy not a lot of folks are talking about. He's got ideal size. This guy's coming in at 6'5". I think he's your prototypical pocket passer, which we know the NFL likes, even in today's game where we're moving around a little bit. And this guy just comes off the pops off the tape for me. He doesn't necessarily have the big numbers because Boston College doesn't quite throw it at the same rate that maybe a lot of other programs have. But he looks really good when he's throwing the ball. Quite frankly, I'm not sure why a lot of folks aren't talking about him. I'm grabbing him everywhere this summer in Devy drafts, Campus Decanton drafts, and I'm getting him at a value. I'm really excited about it because I think he can project really well. 45, 50 yards downfield with consistency, relative ease. He's very accurate in the deep third of the field. You know, he's got good ball placement as well in the short and midfield. He leads his receivers very well. And like I said, you know, he's got a nice touch on his pass. He doesn't drop off. His accuracy maintains into the deep third of the field. That's rare for a quarterback. You know, he works through his progressions well. At times, he does force the ball into tight windows. But he reacts well to checking down under pressure. He understands when to give up on the play, which not a lot of these quarterbacks necessarily do. That's something you kind of learn. And remember, Dracovic, former four-star recruit, and he was a Notre Dame transfer. He transferred from Notre Dame to Boston College, and he started right away for the Golden Eagles once he got there. You know, in terms of his mechanics, which is really key for a pocket passer, great footwork in the pocket. Make sure to always throw from a clean base. He's got a consistent throwing motion. Now, he does have a slight hitch at the top of his throwing motion, but it's not super detrimental to it. Overall, he keeps his body tight. It's a nice throwing motion. And like I said, you're not going to confuse him as a pure runner, but he can scramble, and they do have him execute design runs at times, which for a 6'5 guy, you know, is pretty good here. So Dracovic, he's the one who I'm kind of higher on than most folks. I don't think a lot of folks would put him in the same group here as Keaton Slovis in the top three guys who all right now profile in the weekly starters category here for fantasy football. So let's go ahead and let's jump into the last group of guys here on the list. And you kind of know the three. Well, I should say, you know, one of these guys is probably sneaking in here higher than where a lot of folks have him. And I've had to defend this take already a ton on Twitter, and I'm sure I'm just going to have to keep doing it. But in my top three, these guys are very, very close. They do come in Jaden Daniels 3, Sam Howell 2, and Spencer Rattler 1. I should point out that Jaden Daniels and Sam Howell actually have the same exact tape score right now. And so they're essentially tied. And Spencer Rattler is a little bit higher. So literally in the tape grade right now, from this is my fantasy football tape grade, Spencer Rattler comes in at 82.25, Jaden Daniels and Sam Howell both come in at 82. So we're essentially talking about the same player here, which I know probably frustrates a lot of folks because they probably want to try to separate these guys right now. And I got to tell you, I don't think you have the ability to do that. All of these guys have things to develop and limitations to their game at this point. And so, you know, for me to sit here and for anybody, honestly, to sit here in the summer right now in June of 2021 and tell you that they could say that Spencer Rattler, Sam Howell, or Jaden Daniels are going to be the number one quarterback in the class, I think is irresponsible and I think it's inaccurate, right? It's probably just hyping people up or gassing people up. And that's not, you know, what I'm here to do. I'm here to give a realistic view of things. So for me, I think you need to consider these guys really in the same category, in the same grouping. And, you know, let's start here with Jaden Daniels because it's a little bit of the more inflammatory stance, I suppose, or against the grain stance. You know, for me, Jaden Daniels, I like the guy. He has all of the fantasy football upside you could want. And this is consistent. I might have to break down a full episode on this because I don't want to rant about this. But I swear, mobility and athleticism at the quarterback position is the most undervalued trait for fantasy football when we're trying to project these guys, when we're trying to scout these guys out. We all want our mobile quarterbacks, you know, in terms of dynasty ADP. Look who's going at the top. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you know, Pat Mahomes can scoot. Dak Prescott can scoot. Russell Wilson can move. All of these guys that are at the top, Justin Herbert can move. We like Joe Burrow because we thought he had a little bit of mobility, and it's probably going to drop off post-injury. But if you look at the top of fantasy football ADP for the quarterback position in dynasty, we're drafting guys that can run. And yet, we write these guys off in the evaluation process. We don't take that into account, or we consider it a secondary characteristic. It's essential to upside and success for fantasy football at the quarterback position to have that mobility, to have that athleticism. And that's what makes guys a higher level of tier. You can be a good fantasy football quarterback by being a pocket passer. I'm not saying you can't be, but your upside is much higher if you have the ability to effectively run the ball. And that's where it starts with Jaden Daniels. Pure athlete, great vision with the ball. You know, high level of mobility, high level of athleticism, clean cuts. He knows how to juke. He's got cleaner cuts and better juke moves than some of the running backs that I'm about to pop on some film for here over the next week. Go to the UCLA tape, 2020 UCLA tape. There's this one play that just really shows how dynamic Jaden Daniels is. It's a trick play. Jaden Daniels, it looks like he's dropping off a wide receiver screen. He throws it behind the line of scrimmage to his wide receiver on the far side of the field. Wide receiver turns around, tosses it back to Jaden Daniels, who is now on the near side of the field on the sideline. Jaden Daniels gets that ball behind the line of scrimmage, breaks off a 40-yard run, and he wasn't wide open. He had to make some cuts, he had to make some guys miss, and he had good field vision about it. Jaden Daniels, I like not only his mobility and his athleticism, I think he's got great mechanics. He's smooth throwing the ball, he's got a clean release. He does well to set his feet. While throwing the ball, he keeps his body tight. He really keeps himself under control. So I just talked about a guy who has great mobility and athleticism, but he also has really, really clean mechanics in the pocket. And I want to emphasize this. I want to drive this home. Jaden Daniels looks to throw the ball first, unless it's an executed design run, and he's not quick to break the pocket. I like his pocket presence a ton. And this is the thing that's always going to come up with Jaden Daniels. He's coming in at 6'3", 175, and he's considered small. 6'3", first off, is nice height compared to some of the other guys. That's taller than Sam Howell. That's taller than Spencer Rattler. That's taller than some of these other guys in the class. And we know height is important to a degree at the quarterback position to be able to kind of see the field cleanly. And even in today's NFL where arm angles are improvised and folks are working around that, it's still important. Now, number one, Jaden Daniels' spring reports are that he's coming in over 200 pounds, which puts him right on par with most of these guys. Definitely puts him on par with Spencer Rattler. Here's the other thing. Even if he's not, even if he comes in at a buck 75, go back. I just mentioned it. Watch the UCLA game. Jaden Daniels gets absolutely obliterated play after play, smashed. I mean, that Arizona offensive line was just completely exposed against UCLA, sending their blitzers and sending their pressure. He had linebackers drilling him to the ground. He had DBs in his face. He had guys coming in all over the place, and he went to the ground over and over and over again. That man got up every single play, and guess what? He stood in the pocket. He does not flinch under pressure. He got those throws off even though he knew he was going to be popped again, even after getting hit over and over again all day. I see the competitive toughness. I don't care that it looks like he has a smaller frame and hasn't presented itself to be an issue yet, so there's no reason to over-anticipate a potential injury concerns. And by the way, when Jaden Daniels is running, he's smart not to take big hits. So that was a little bit longer than I wanted to spend on one guy, but that's my defense of Jaden Daniels. I think he's got good mechanics. He's comfortable in the pocket. He has good arm strength. He could push the ball 45, 50 yards downfield, and he has the upside behind it. Now, the accuracy, yes. Does he need to rein in his accuracy? Yes. Does he need to learn how to anticipate receivers better? Yes. He started 14 collegiate games. I think he can get there, and I think he could take a big leap this year. Sam Howell next up here, and like I said, essentially tied with Jaden Daniels. Sam Howell, you know, I think we're a little bit more familiar with him. This is honestly the first time I've really taken a deep dive into Sam Howell, to be completely honest with you, and I was excited to do it. He has the ability to push the ball 45, 55 yards downfield, so he's definitely in the top tier of this class in terms of arm strength. You know, go ahead, look at that Florida State tape. 45-yard touchdown pass. It was great. He led his wide out with ideal touch. That was fantastic. He has a nice zip on his ball in the short midfield. So he's definitely got the arm strength. And I just mentioned where Jaden Daniels struggles in accuracy. I think that's where Sam Howell has some nice upside. He consistently hits his targets in the chest. It doesn't drop off when he's on the run or off platform. And he has fantastic accuracy when leading his wideouts downfield. So, you know, in terms of a field stretcher, a guy who can improvise to a degree, I understand why Sam Howell is kind of considered to be, you know, a more near lock to be a first-round draft pick. I definitely see it there. Now, Sam Howell, you know, he's not a pure athlete, but I do think he's mobile, and I think it's important to recognize the difference between those two things. He can roll out, he can extend the play, he doesn't lose a lot of accuracy, like I said, when going on the run. He's crafty, he could improvise, and we all know that Sam Howell comes with a strong level of competitive toughness. In terms of his mechanics, he's got a fluid throwing motion, a slight hitch at the bottom of it. It makes it just a bit slower than it needs to be, but I think that's something that could be easily cleaned up. He's got nice footwork, throws off a good platform. I will say his footwork at times is almost a bit robotic. It's a bit rigid. He almost hops in the pocket at times. I don't know how better to describe that, but sometimes he turns his whole body and he kind of does like a hop step instead of actually moving his feet. So that was the only kind of oddity. It doesn't really throw off his game. It just looks a little awkward, which is fine. You know, quarterbacks do that kind of stuff all the time, and he still keeps his platform relatively clean, his base relatively clean when throwing off of that. So, you know, I definitely understand the upside with Sam Howell. You know, he's right there with Jaden Daniels. That's the safer pick. If you're in Devy drafts, you're going to see Sam Howell consistently go much earlier because he does. He's a more safe player, and for good reason. I'd be happy to take Sam Howell in Devy spots. Then Spencer Rattler here coming in just a smidge ahead of Sam Howell. You know, when we're looking at Spencer Rattler, we're seeing all the tools. Now, I don't think it's all there yet. And remember, you know, we're really looking off of a small sample size of good play from Spencer Rattler. He really struggled early in the season in an offense that, you know, we've seen guys pick up really quickly and kind of take off to the NFL. I mean, Kyler Murray only had one big year with Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts only really had one big year with Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler is the first guy in a while who's really getting the ability to build his credentials at Oklahoma over a multi-year season. And, you know, it starts here with his arm strength. He's got a lot of pop on his ball. His velocity is really good throwing on the run. Tight spiral. Nice ball. I mean, you know, he really zips that ball around the field. And it looks effortlessly. You know, it really doesn't look like he's trying that hard. And I talk about that a lot. When players can do that without making it look hard, it's hard to quantify that. But it's important. And it shows up. You know, it really shows their upside and their ability here. Now, I do think he struggles with placing the ball when he puts touch on it. He hasn't really gotten that down yet. He overthrows the ball when throwing into tight windows. So we have to clean up the accuracy. I will say we don't see a significant drop-off in the accuracy when throwing on the run. If you pull up Spencer Rattler's numbers, you're going to see, I think it's 67% completion rate. Remember, Oklahoma really sets their guys up nicely here with a lot of underneath stuff and that, and, you know, check downs and short stuff, and that helps Spencer Rattler's numbers come up. But when you dig into accuracy on the field, it's not terrible. But I do think that's the biggest red flag for me right now, and he's got to rein that in a little bit. And now that accuracy, you know, we've seen NFL scouts, you know, bypass that for tools. And when you're talking about tools, you have to add on to the mobility and the athleticism. He extends the play. He moves around the field. You know, he's got that craftiness, that ability to improvise that kind of helped, you know, some of these guys more recently. It's this new era of NFL quarterback, and I think Spencer Rattler really embodies that along with a big arm. You know, similar to the way Zach Wilson rocks the improvised arm angles, you're going to see Spencer Rattler do that. And if anybody is poised to be on the big stage, make a Heisman run, you know, you're playing an Oklahoma's offense, which is designed to highlight the quarterback. It's playing against, you know, some of the worst Power 5 defenses in the country week in and week out. And he's going to light guys up. The stat box is going to be over flooding. And if it's not, then we might want to look into Spencer Rattler, because this offense is designed to make Heisman winners. It's designed to give guys high exposure. And Spencer Rattler knew that when he committed to Oklahoma. And I think, you know, he has the ability. He has all the tools to be the number one quarterback in the class. So if you're playing it safe, Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, those are the guys you want to go early in your Devy drafts. But if Jaden Daniels is still there in round two, round three, or you could trade for him at a bargain. I just took Jaden Daniels 106 in a Superflex Devy League. I put my money where my mouth is. That's my guy. And I have him almost everywhere. I think he's a great guy to get. Moving down the list here to recap, Phil Dracovic, you know, a fourth, fifth round of Devy Leagues, almost free in Devy auctions. Just stash him. He's such a good value. Keaton Slovis, I'm still in on him. I think we have a multi-round discount. He just went round three in a Devy startup, best ball I'm in. You know, that's a value. I'm still taking him there all day. Carson Strong, flying under the radar. I think you could still get a really nice value on Carson Strong. Round four, round five, later. Free almost in Devy Leagues. Now, Malik Willis, I'm not saying Malik Willis can't make the rise, but his name is out there more, and he's getting more chatter, and so I almost feel like he may be overvalued. I saw him go in a Devy auction this weekend, and it went for more than I would have paid for him, so I think he might actually be a little overvalued, where I think Carson Strong went for a fraction of the price of Malik Willis, and I just told you I put him in the same exact category. And then JT Daniels, Desmond Ridder, proceed with caution. I would just let those guys go at this point. Definitely don't invest high Devy capital. Don't go out and, you know, trade a ransom for them in your Devy leagues, Campus to Canton leagues. Campus to Canton leagues especially. You know, I'm not looking at JT Daniels because he's not going to put up the numbers. Desmond Ridder, you might be able to offset that a little bit. So I kind of built a big board here. I didn't say it, but I gave you the guys in order here, and I broke them down by my fantasy football projections. I should point out, you know, and we'll do this as we get closer, you know, Spencer Rattler as my highest guy up here right now, he's lower than Justin Fields from last year's class. He's lower than Trey Lance from last year's class. So if we're doing a one-to-one, you know, Spencer Rattler kind of comes in that four category of this past year's class. He's probably about equal with Zach Wilson. However, the caveat here, of course, is that my expectation is that Spencer Rattler, Sam Howell, all the guys in this list will improve their tape grade with their final year of tape. And so Spencer Rattler, at the end of the day, may be closer to Justin Fields, who was my QB2 last year, than he is right now to Zach Wilson, who's my QB4 next year. And that's natural. That's what we expect, that progression over the point. Thanks for checking out this episode. I'm excited that the 2022 Rookie Big Board is out. If you don't have access to it, if you're not a patron yet, it's just $3 a month. Patreon.com/TheFFEducator. That also gets you access to my Devy rankings, my Dynasty rankings, my Cornerstone rankings. The 2021 Rookie Big Board is still up there. We'll still make some tweaks as needed. And of course, we're going to be building out the 2022 Rookie Big Board here for the next 10 months here. And I'm adding individual scouting reports, posting those on Patreon so you can see the individual reports as they come out. Or you could go in and you not only see my full rookie big board with fantasy football projections, NFL draft projections, all that good stuff, but you also this year for the first time see all of my individual trait notes for all of these players. You can compare them based on trait, what you're looking for, and you could see all of that. It's all access. Anything I'm putting in, you have access to. The Patreon has been growing exponentially. I appreciate the support. I love it. We're funneling all of that back to just more equipment, more software, more awesome stuff to help out and grow the Rookie Big Board. So I appreciate you checking out this episode. I appreciate your support as always.